Imagine discovering that your nation's military isn't just fighting wars, but secretly running a multi-billion dollar business empire spanning everything from cereal factories to luxury real estate. In Pakistan, this isn't conspiracy theory, it's documented reality. The military has constructed an elaborate economic kingdom that operates largely outside public scrutiny, creating what scholar Aisha Siddiqa terms MILBUS, military capital used primarily to benefit the officer class. This shadow economy fundamentally reshapes the relationship between Pakistan's armed forces and its civilian government, creating powerful incentives for military leaders to maintain political influence. When generals become business tycoons, the line between national security and personal profit blurs dangerously, raising profound questions about who truly governs Pakistan. Pakistan's military controls massive business conglomerates through foundations like Fauji Foundation, Army Welfare Trust, and Shaheen Foundation. These aren't minor ventures, but dominant players in cement, fertilizer, banking, insurance, transportation, and real estate development. This system thrives on preferential treatment, special access to prime state land, tax exemptions, and non-competitive government contracts. Defense Housing Authorities, DHAs, exemplify this dynamic, having evolved from veteran welfare projects into luxury real estate empires, generating enormous profits. While the military justifies these enterprises as supporting welfare programs and national development, the benefits flow disproportionately to senior officers through preferential share allocations, subsidized housing, and lucrative positions. A revolving door system places retiring military leaders directly into management roles at these same enterprises, blurring the line between their military and commercial roles. Pakistan's military transformed from a professional security force into a ruling institution gradually between 1947 and 1977, catalyzed by political crises and India conflicts. It secured its dominant position by positioning itself as the nation's essential protector during vulnerable periods. As defense scholar Stephen Cohen observed, the Pakistan Army defends the nation's borders, protects its own position in society, and defends an idea, a self-appointed triple mission justifying expanded influence. Post-independence political instability created perfect openings for military intervention. Pakistan cycled through 7 prime ministers and 8 cabinets between 1947 and 1958, with parties divided along regional lines. Unlike India, where civilian institutions maintained control over the military, Pakistan's civil bureaucracy fatefully allied with generals against elected politicians. General Ayub Khan's 1958 takeover marked a decisive turning point, establishing personal rule and restructuring politics through a guided democracy that marginalized representative government. To secure loyalty, the military began providing land grants to officers and creating military-run industry jobs, establishing the foundations of today's vast economic empire. How does a general on a government salary afford a mansion in Islamabad's most exclusive neighborhood? This question reveals the military's wealth-building mechanism, systematic exploitation of land. Pakistan's military controls approximately 12% of total state land, about 11.58 million acres. Unlike other institutions, the armed forces uniquely convert state land from official to private purposes. Senior officers receive the greatest benefits, with major generals and above typically getting 50 acres, plus additional land for gallantry medals. Visit top generals' farms, and you'll notice serving soldiers guarding and working these properties, reminiscent of feudal lords with private armies. Officers also receive subsidized agricultural inputs transported on military vehicles, minimizing their development costs. The military's expansion into urban real estate has proven even more profitable. Defense housing authorities command premium prices in major cities. The returns are staggering. One Army Welfare Trust housing scheme earned Rs. 24 billion on a $720 million investment. Their advantage? Acquiring land at artificially low prices through preferential information access and subtle coercion of original landowners. Through this systematic land acquisition, Pakistan's military has joined the country's dominant classes, creating economic dependencies that reinforce its political power. Young Pakistani men compete fiercely for military careers because the armed forces offer a comprehensive lifestyle package unmatched in civilian sectors. Housing, healthcare, education, and retirement benefits that transform families' social standing. The military welfare system serves about 9.1 million beneficiaries. The disparity is stark. The government allocates ₹30 to ₹33 billion annually for military pensions versus just ₹6 billion for civilian pensions. Military personnel receive higher salaries, special allowances, subsidized housing, and priority placement in government positions after retirement. The Faji Foundation exemplifies this welfare infrastructure with 11 hospitals, 23 medical centers, 72 dispensaries, 90 educational institutions serving 40,000 students, and numerous vocational centers, all funded through its commercial ventures. This generous system creates political tensions through unequal distribution. About 75% of military personnel come from just three Punjab districts, Rawalpindi, Jhelum, and Chakwal. Consequently, roughly 72% of military welfare funds go to Punjab, while provinces like Balochistan and Sindh receive minimal benefits despite their significant populations. This recruitment pattern stems from British colonial martial races classifications that still influence modern practices. The concentration of military businesses in Punjab further intensifies regional disparities, perpetuating inequality across Pakistan. Despite projecting superior management capability, Pakistan's military businesses demonstrate remarkable financial inefficiency. The Army Welfare Trust, AWT, accumulated a deficit of 15 billion rupees, $258.62 million, by 2001, despite its privileged position and expansion across economic sectors. Poor decision-making was rampant, exemplified by AWT's ill-advised expansion into cement and pharmaceuticals in 1996-97, using high-interest international loans during economic instability. When these ventures faced liquidity problems, the military secured government bailouts, totaling 12.9 billion rupees between 1997-2001, privatizing profits while socializing losses. Even the Faji Foundation, considered the better performer among military enterprises, reported significant losses, 58.424 million in sugar manufacturing alone, with annual losses reportedly reaching 1 billion rupees across sugar operations despite preferential access to resources. Beyond direct financial losses, military-controlled companies have established near-monopolistic positions in crucial sectors, stifling private competition and innovation. Rather than improving existing civilian institutions like Pakistan Railways, the military created redundant organizations like the National Logistics Cell. This military-industrial complex has fostered a damaging form of crony capitalism, where influential actors maintain resource monopolies through military support, creating an economy with two different rule sets that distorts market mechanisms and hampers sustainable development. How can democracy flourish when those with guns also control the economy? This question haunts Pakistan's future. The military's economic empire creates a self-reinforcing cycle where political power guarantees economic benefits, motivating continued control over governance. The privilege system ensures officer loyalty, especially against civilian regimes. As defense analyst Ikram Shigal notes, the jump from a major general is a major financial jump, making officers unwilling to risk promotion by challenging the status quo. A troubling pattern connects military dominance, economic privilege, and religious extremism. When the military becomes the dominant elite, it limits political options, driving people toward alternative ideologies. Pakistan's military has nurtured religious groups for strategic purposes without recognizing religion's potential as an alternative power base. Breaking this cycle requires addressing the military's economic interests directly. Meaningful democratic reforms demand strengthening civilian institutions, creating transparency around military businesses, and reducing armed forces' commercial activities. Only then might Pakistan establish civilian supremacy, where generals focus on security rather than their business empires.